Let's start out in John chapter 1, first of all. In John chapter 1, the Bible tells you that the law was given by Moses, and it says down there in verse 17, I'll read verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace." I just got to thinking about something. John was 6 months older than Jesus. But John said he was before me, and he was. And it says, "And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So when Jesus Christ shows up, grace and truth show up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's of grace, then the Bible says it cannot be of works. And a legalistic system is a system whereby you're doing something through your works in order to achieve something. Whether some people are legalistic when it comes to salvation. They believe if you don't do this, 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 and this, you can't be saved. Most religions are religions that are work-oriented. In other words, you have to do something in order to be saved. It's not enough just to believe on Jesus Christ. And somebody asked that question, is faith alone enough to save you? And the answer is absolutely yes. And what are the verses of Scripture? And they were given. And so when it comes to salvation, we understand and know that there's no works and no law that is going to save us. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And look what the Bible says about this thing concerning grace and works. Romans chapter 11. It says in verse 5, "Even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So if it's grace, it's not works. If it's works, it's not grace. And so you can't mingle the two. You can't say, well, yes, it's grace and works. That's what they were trying to do in the book of Acts. They were saying, yes, it's okay to believe on Jesus Christ, but you also must keep the law of Moses and be circumcised like Moses said in his law. And what they were trying to do was mingle grace with works. And they were trying to get a legalistic system going. Now, there's a lot of churches today that do that. They say, well, we understand and we believe that you're saved by grace and by grace alone. But, you know, if you want to have the right relationship with God, if you want to grow, if you want to be pleasing to God and do what's right, then there's a list of do's and don'ts. There's a list of things that you must comply with or you can't be right with God. And some of them even go back to the Old Testament law in order to try to prove these things. Now, what was the law for? What was the law given for? Well, take your Bible and go back to Exodus, the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 gives you the purpose of the law. And in Exodus chapter 19, it says in verse 4, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So that's what Moses came back with. Notice what they said in verse 8. "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned with the words of the people unto the Lord." And then the Lord gives Moses the law. And so the purpose of the law is so that this nation could be a peculiar people and a holy nation and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, according to verse 6. So these were laws and statutes and ordinances that God gave to them so that they could have the right relationship with God. And if they walked in those ordinances and did those things, and did it with the right heart attitude and right spirit, then they could have that relationship with God. If they didn't, there was a consequence to pay. Now, the law of the Old Testament was threefold. You have the moral law. You find that in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to read it all. Then you have the civil law. And you find that in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through chapter 24, verses 18, the civil law. Then you have the ceremonial law, and that's found in Exodus chapter 25, right on through to the end of Exodus chapter 40. So the law comes in three forms. It comes in a moral law, and the Ten Commandments, part of the moral law. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's part of the moral law. Then you have the civil law, how they were supposed to conduct themselves as far as civil affairs with one another and with other people that they came in contact with. And then you have that ceremonial law. That ceremonial law spoke of the different feasts that they were to keep and observe. And when Paul said, when it came to the law, he was blameless, he was talking about that ceremonial law. I mean, that ceremonial law was something that he could do and he could keep. And he was very, very meticulous in keeping that ceremonial law, but he surely didn't keep all the moral law, because he said, I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. And when the law said that, man, he said, he knew that he had... So he wasn't perfect as far as keeping all the law, the civil and the moral part, but he was when it came to the ceremonial part. And the law given by Moses, and of course, we've already read that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So for over 1,500 years, you had this big dispensation sitting out there, which was the dispensation of law. Now, God wrote it down. He gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to the people. They transcribed that thing. They kept that law. They knew exactly what it was that God wanted them to do, and how it was that God wanted them to do it. Take your Bible and go to the book of, let's stay in Exodus for a minute, and let's look at some of these divers laws and ordinances, as it says on the top of my Bible. It says, look in chapter 21, Exodus chapter 21. It says in verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. So there's the difference between manslaughter and murder. And that's what you have in those two verses. Look down in verse 23, 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. That was God's law. That was his civil law. Look in Exodus 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. And remember, when Nathan the prophet came into David and told him the story about the rich man that took the poor man's little ewe lamb, and he said, let that man pay fourfold. He had it right. Four sheep for one. That's restitution. That's paying back. And then he says, and let the man be put to death. It says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. And when David, of course, pronounced that death sentence, he was pronouncing his own death sentence, but God said, you're going to pay, but you're not going to die. And he did pay. That sword never departed from his house. Look again in chapter 23. Chapter 23. Verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed, in the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruit of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So there was three times a year that all the men were to go up to Jerusalem, appear before God. It was those three feasts. Feast of Unleavened Bread had to do with the Passover. The Feast of Harvest that had to do with the taking up of the harvest. And the Feast of the Ingathering. Take your Bible and go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Now, some of these laws were given to them when they were out in the wilderness wandering. And then some of these laws were given to them for when they went in and settled into the land. Leviticus chapter... let me see. 18:20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord, of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And that was God's attitude towards adultery, God's attitude towards bestiality, and God's attitude towards homosexuality. You know something? God hasn't changed his mind about those things. Because even in the New Testament, you can find warning against all of those things. Take your Bible and flip over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And he tells them how they're supposed to reap the harvest. Verse 9. When ye shall reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So when they went out into their fields and harvest their fields, they weren't to go into the corners and round them corners out, leave the corners filled. And not get every grape off the, wait till the harvest comes in, harvest, go through that thing, harvest at one time, and then the gleanings, you let the strangers and the poor come in and have whatever they want. That was God's way. That was God's law. He wanted them to do that. Notice again, it says in verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. So God listens. He told him, don't you do this. This is, you know, if you're going to be a holy nation, this is not the way to live. Okay, then it says in verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Man comes in, does a day's work, you pay him that day. You don't hold it till the end of the week. Under the law. Under the law. That way, the record's always kept clear, say. Under the law. Okay, look down there in verse 28. Same chapter, verse 28. Under the law. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, I am the Lord. They didn't go down to White Horse Tattoo Parlor or whatever that thing is down there, White Fang Tattoo Parlor, and get a tattoo, you know, to decorate their body. They weren't to put any cutting. They weren't to cut themselves. They weren't to put any marks on them. They weren't to put any tattoos on them, any markings, or print any marks upon you, I am the Lord. That is prohibited under the law. Look in chapter 20. It says in verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. And so when it came to familiar spirits, going to the necromancer, going down to the soothsayer, the palm reader, getting the paper, you know, and going to the horoscope and looking at the, you know, what the stars say about your condition for the day, you weren't supposed to mess with any of that stuff. God said, don't do it. And these are all things under the law. It's good to go through there and just read what God says about the things that he wanted these people to do. Go to chapter 25, and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own, according to the harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather thy grapes of the vine, of thy vine undressed, for it is the year of rest of the land. So God gave the land a break. He gave the land a Sabbath, a whole year, to rest and recuperate. And then they could go back and plant again. And this was God's way for this nation of people. He expected them to live according to these statutes and commandments. I was looking there at that word abomination. But in chapter 26, every Jew knows this. Ye shall not make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go into a strange land. They will not bow down before that image. He says, the abomination that makes desolate, when you see that image standing in the holy place, flee to the mountain. Jew knew this. Jew knows that today because he's still studying that law. So there's a whole bunch of things in the first five books of the Bible that have to do with the laws and the ordinances and the commandments and statutes of the Lord God for the nation of Israel. Now, you know what some people want to do? And I didn't read some of this, but some people want to take you back and put you under that law. And they will say, well, God said, you know, you're to keep the Sabbath. Yeah, he said it to the Jew. He didn't say it to the Gentile. He said it to the Jew to keep the Sabbath. They had to keep the Sabbath. And then there was a way that they were to keep that Sabbath. They couldn't go more than a Sabbath day's journey on the Sabbath. You had to know how far you could go, man. You go too far, break the Sabbath, you're dead, man. According to the law, you break the Sabbath, you're dead. You couldn't gather up any sticks on the Sabbath. You couldn't light a fire in your dwelling on the Sabbath. There were certain things you couldn't do on the Sabbath. Now, a Seventh-day Adventist says, I keep the Sabbath. He'll fire up the stove and cook him a meal. You can be sure of that. He'll drive 50 miles to go to church, or 30, or 20. That's a lot further than the Sabbath day's journey. So they believe in keeping the law, or keeping that Sabbath to a point, but not the way that Jew was to keep the Sabbath. And so when it comes to us, the Gentiles, in the age of grace, we're not under the law. Take your Bible and go back to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are not under the dietary law. We are not under the law as far as how to plant your field. We can mingle our crops. You know, God doesn't get after us for doing that. They couldn't. They couldn't plant diverse seeds in their field. They couldn't plant two rows of beans and two rows of corn and two rows of taters. They weren't allowed to mingle that seed like that. We do it. They weren't allowed to eat certain meats. We do it. Now, would it be better for us if we didn't? Probably. Would it be better for our land if we did it the way God said in there? Yeah, probably would. But we're not a Jew under the law in the dispensation of the law. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep those laws in order to be right in the sight of God. We don't need to keep those laws in order to be saved, because Jesus Christ came so that we might have everlasting life, and he died for us. We don't have to keep laws and ordinances and regulations in order to have a relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord and the Lord for the body. So Paul says, all things are lawful. He said, there's nothing that is unlawful for me. If I want to eat something, I can eat something. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That means I can have a pork chop, and I can say it's something that God created. He placed it on this earth. He's going to let me eat it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank him for it. I'm going to sanctify it through the word of God and prayer and eat that pork chop. A Jew couldn't do that. A Jew under the law could not do that. He was breaking a commandment of God if he ate any swine, any pork. He couldn't do that. I can go into the restaurant and I can say, I want my steak rare. Cut that thing, man, and even though you're not supposed to eat blood and drink blood like that, the blood doesn't have to be completely cooked out of it. Now, there is a warning under the law and under grace about drinking blood. We're not supposed to drink blood. But if my steak is a little rare and I eat that thing, God's not going to say, you drank blood, bud. I'm going to say, thank you for that big, delicious-looking steak, Lord. And I'm going to sanctify it with prayer. I'm going to say, God bless it. Thank you for it. I thank you for supplying it. Nourish my body by it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to eat that steak. Now, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. I'm a diabetic. I can have a great big piece of cake. It's lawful for me to eat that cake. It might not be expedient for me to eat it, but my blood sugar will go way up. So even though something is lawful for me, that doesn't mean that I should just go ahead and engage in it because it's lawful. Now, does God put any rules and regulations on us as far as how he wants us to live? Well, yeah. If we want to live within the will of God, there's things that he wants us to do. There's ways that he wants us to conduct our life. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says in chapter 5 and verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And these things are found in the moral law of God. Don't do these things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You can lose your inheritance if that's the way you're going to live. You're still going to be saved. Because we're in grace. We're saved by grace. But you'll lose your inheritance. There's a lot of covetous people that aren't going to have what they think they might have at the judgment seat of Christ. Or when they come back to this earth in the millennium. Because they willfully and continually engage in these things. And God says, don't do it. Don't do it. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us, how we're supposed to look. Tells us how we're supposed to dress. It tells, look in Titus. Look in Titus. Titus chapter 2. And in Titus chapter 2, it says in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober. Be sober. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort ye to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And God covers it all. He covers the old men, the older women, the young women, the young men, and he says, now that's the way I want you. This is under grace. Under grace. Now, a legalistic system is this. A legalistic system says, if you're going to come to this church and be a member of this church, then you're going to have to dress a certain way. I have heard, I've never been to this church, but I've heard of this, that there was a fellow up north in Michigan that had a church, and he was so legalistic that he measured a preacher's pant leg, and he couldn't preach in that church if he had bell-bottom trousers on. The preacher would have somebody go up with a tape measure and measure his cuff, and if it didn't fall into a certain measurement, then he wouldn't let the guy preach. You know what that is? That's legalism. That was another thing, wire-rimmed glasses. You could not have wire-rimmed glasses. I mean, that was too worldly to have wire-rimmed glasses. Now, you know, what in the world does that have to do with spirituality? It doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. But it's turning out sausage Christians. Sausage Christians... Sausage Christians. The best thing for a soldier of Christ is not a theological college. They seem to turn out sausages of varying lengths, but always sausages tied at each end and without the glorious freedom a Christian ought to abound and rejoice in. You see, when in hand-to-hand conflict with the world and the devil, neat little biblical confectionery is like shooting lions with a pea shooter. One needs a man who will let himself go and deliver blows right and left as hard as he can hit, trusting in the Holy Ghost. It is experience, not preaching, that hurts the devil and confounds the world, because unanswerable, the training is not that of the schools, but of the market. It is not the hot, free heart and not the balanced head that knocks the devil out. Nothing but a forked tongue, nothing but a forked lightning Christian will count. A lost reputation is the best degree for Christ's service. God needs men, men of war who, like David of old, will face the lion, the bear, and Goliath unflinchingly because prepared. Men who are always the same, who have no fancy manners for meetings, and who are always living in the presence of God. I mean, we don't need people just looking a certain way to satisfy some demand of some individual. John the Baptist would have not been able to come out of the wilderness and preach in most Bible-believing churches today, because he came out of the wilderness with a leathern girdle on, and he was eating wild locusts, and he was different. He was different. But when he got up to preach, the people listened, and they heard. And the Pharisees were the ones that were legalistic. Here's the way you dress. Here's the way you look. Here's the way you act. Here's the way you do it. And they were legalistic. And God said, he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. So when it comes to legalism, God doesn't just want us to abandon morals. He doesn't just want us to say, I can go to church in my halter top and my short shorts if I want to. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. You're not going to come in here and see me wearing a tank t-shirt when it gets hot and a pair of shorts and some flip-flops and my sunglasses. And I'm here to preach to you tonight. You probably said, man, what is he on? Has he flipped out? And in the same light, I'm not going to preach to you week after week, month after month, year after year, how you should look. That's going to be between you and God, whether it's man or woman. I'm not going to tell a man he can't have a mustache. A lot of preachers back in the 70s and 80s always preached on facial hair, and you can't be right with God if you have a beard or a mustache. I don't believe that for a minute. I know a quartet that, man, I'll tell you what, whenever I heard them sing, they blessed my heart. They went to a camp meeting, and they got up there and sang, and people just went, absolutely, I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit just blessed their music and blessed their singing. And the guy got up and rebuked him, one of the men, for having a beard. You know what that is? That's legalism. That's legalism. That man could shave his beard and not be any closer to God. I don't understand that anyway. Jesus had a beard. They plucked his beard out. I've never been able to understand some of that stuff. I remember when preachers, all they could preach on was long hair and miniskirts. That's all they could preach on. I mean, they were consumed with that. And if somebody walked in, they had long hair or miniskirt on, you could be sure somewhere in that message that preacher was going to work that thing in there. You know what he's doing? Half the time, he was just offending people. The rest of the time, he was just trying to force a person into a legalistic system. Now, when I get the books of the old-time preachers, like Talmage, Spurgeon, and Moody, I look at them pictures that are in them books. I look. And I see, they had long hair. They had beards. They were overweight. They wouldn't be able to preach in most of these legalistic churches today because of their appearance. And it's not what's on the outside that makes you right with God. It's not forcing yourself into a system of do's and don'ts that makes you right with God. It's what's going on in the heart that makes you right with God. Okay, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we're thankful for the word. And Lord, help us to rightly divide it. And help us, Lord, to understand it, know what your book says. And Father, I'm thankful for the law of God. I know it was perfect and pure. And I know this, I couldn't live up to it, Lord. And I'm thankful that I have a Savior. And I'm thankful that my salvation is not based upon whether I've kept a bunch of laws and commandments. But, Lord, it's based on what Jesus Christ has done for me. And Father, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, your law has certainly been a schoolmaster to me to teach me I need to be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that, Father, staying saved is not based on how I look and how I dress. But Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. And I don't want to have people look at me and be reminded of somebody that is just part of this world. Lord, I want them to look at me and be able to say there's something different about that person. Help us, Lord, not to be legalistic, but help us, Lord, to want to be pleasing and honorable in your sight. And wherever we go, may we not be ashamed to say, yes, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian. And may we not ever come to the place where somebody could point the finger at us and say, well, Christians don't act like that and don't look like that and don't say those things. Help us, Lord, to abide in you and in your word and to live accordingly. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. See you on Wednesday night.